Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly will be Jonathan Chan, also of FantasySixPack.net, and hopefully later Kevin Ho will join us in progress as we go through the games of the week and talk a little bit about Lamar Jackson and the big win against the Rams, 45-6, five touchdown passes by Lamar Jackson in that game. If you needed Lamar Jackson to get you a bundle of points for your fantasy team, he did it for you. But he didn't quite do it for me in one league because they took him off the field early in the fourth quarter. And all I needed was a couple more points, just a couple more, and he would have taken me over the top. I shouldn't have been that far behind anyway, but it was one of those. Hello, Jono. How you doing?
I am doing great, Richard. How are you?
That's good. It's nice to have you back. Been a couple of weeks. We're going to be talking a little bit of turkey this week because it's Thanksgiving week in the NFL, and we'll have some, instead of our usual panic button, I guess we'll have our turkey button instead. So we'll do a little bit of that this week. But first I want to talk about the Rams, and since you didn't see the game, I'll just update the people on the game. Marquise Brown, two touchdowns, 40 plus yards, big game by Mark Ingram as well. And on the Rams side, I don't think you got very much apart from a couple of field goals by Zuerlein. Not much to say. Robert Woods did get a little bit of garbage time. If you needed anything big, I'm sorry, it just wasn't there. Plus the Ravens defense didn't do too bad. Marcus Peters got a touchdown, interception. So, a very good day all around for, Baltimore Ravens. And Lamar Jackson looks like, he is now fully and settled in as the solid front runner of the MVP race. Unless Russell Wilson next week against, Minnesota can top this, but that's a tall order, I think. I guess we should get into these games. Jono, how are you doing? But before I get into that, how are you doing in your fantasy leagues? Are you doing okay?
Playoff position in two of them, like third, fourth-ish. And then one of them, it's been a write-off since week one. I think we went over this last time I was on the show. I looked through the draft log, and I had the worst pick of every round. I think if I was blind and just randomly picking players on a screen, just anywhere on my screen, it would have been better draft than I had, like actually trying.
You know, that's a funny thing about drafting is that, you know, we get high on players, and then the next year we say, I'm not going to get fooled again by this. Things happen.
Oh, I'm never drafting Joe Mixon ever again. Like, you couldn't pay me to draft Joe Mixon.
No. Yeah, I couldn't pay me to draft Joe Mixon either. I keep my hopes up for a lot of players, but I tend to look at teams that are contenders. I think it's a good rule of thumb. Pick players that are on contenders, and you should be all right. Now, granted, Christian McCaffrey and the Panthers aren't. I think they pretty much knocked themselves out of contention, which is something that I want to discuss a little bit later on. Is about teams that are out of contention. Should we worry about fantasy players getting rested and not getting harmed to injury and stuff? We'll go with that discussion a little bit later on. But first, let's get into the games that happened starting way back. It seems like so long ago that there was a game on Thursday night between the Colts, Colts 17, Houston 20. Not a big day for Jacoby Brissett, but Deshaun Watson did fine with an interception and two touchdowns, 298 yards. Will Fuller came back from injury and had seven carries for 140 yards. Quite a big day for Will Fuller, and including he actually saw DeAndre Hopkins wake up as well, you know, for your fantasy teams by hauling in a couple of touchdowns. So he had a big game, 21 fantasy points, hauling in two deep passes. I guess the question, Jono, is Carlos Hyde got 16 carries, 67 yards. He looked fairly solid. But I think on the other side, the Colts, the big pickup this week was John Williams. 26 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. If you picked him up on waivers this week, he did it solid for you. Are we trusting this guy the rest of the way now?
I think you have to. He looked, you know, good with 26 carries. He's got fresh legs. He wasn't on the active roster for most of the season. Came in with Jordan Wilkins hurt, with Marlon Mack out with his broken hand. Again, he had the bulk of the work. He had more carries than Jacoby Brissett threw, like had passing attempts. One more, but granted, he got better as the game went along. He got into a rhythm and he looked good. If he continues to get carries, then he should be viable on the condition that Jordan Wilkins doesn't come back and play, because that would significantly eat into his carries, I would think.
Yeah, I think that'll be the big discussion, is whether to should we own Jordan Wilkins, just to say.
I think you have to own him, because we don't know how that backfield's going to shake out. Unfortunately, some people owned and started him this week, because Frank Reich didn't really say anything about whether or not he was going to play or not. But if he's active, and you have to own him. Starting him is a different story until we see how it shakes out, but he has to be owned.
Right. I guess the other point is Will Fuller. Now, I started Kenny Stills before the news actually fully came out, and I kind of thought Stills would do a little bit better than one catch. But I think, is he droppable now that Will Fuller's back?
Oh, definitely. I saw the entire game on Thursday. Like, I was watching very, very closely. I didn't even notice Kenny Stills on the field for much of the game. Completely. This was all Fuller and Hopkins in this one.
Let's get into some of the...
more thing about the about Houston. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins, he has 6 touchdowns this year. If you're playing in a 12-team league and the same owner has owned DeAndre Hopkins all year, he's scored 4 of those touchdowns against the same owner. Weeks 1 and week 12. So 4 true. Of those touchdowns came against the same owner. So hopefully they were able to overcome it, because that's unfortunate.
That's a good point. You know, I never thought of that. Next game. That's a good thinking there. I never thought of that one. Denver 3 at Buffalo 20. Yeah. Nice game by Josh Allen, really, for rushing yardage. He got total fantasy points for Josh Allen in this game was, and I'll get this right up here so that I'm accurate. I don't like to go by memory. 20 fantasy points for you. Two TDs but he doesn't get as much rushing yards, of course, as Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is far in the stratosphere. He's among the trailing group near the top. 56 rushing yards for Josh Allen. not much from Devin Singletary this week. It was all Frank Gore breaking the record for breaking a record, but passing Barry Sanders on the all-time rushing list. Of course, Gore has taken a lot longer than Barry Sanders. I guess this is a non-football question. Where do we rank Gore in the all-time greats? Because, you know, they've been doing the thing on the NFL 100 on NFL Network, and they did all the running backs, and Barry Sanders was among that group.
That list is a joke. You can't have a top, was it, they ranked 12 top running backs?
Yeah.
And not include Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson, or Marshall Faulk. It's a joke.
Yeah, I kind of tend to think so too. The thing is that they put in players that are outside of living memory in the television age, and those players, now granted, they were great in their time and they deserve preservation of memory in the memory, but they're outside of living memory. I think there needs to be a separation between the Super Bowl era and the pre, you know, the AFL, NFL era. Because AFL didn't even start until the early 60s. So, it's a totally different game and different style of play. And so, I mean, the game, I think you kind of have to separate it into two halves, the first half and the second half, really. Because actually, when you look at it, the Super Bowl actually kind of is the Super Bowl year is almost split. I mean, we just had the 50th Super Bowl, so it's almost a 50-50 split between the two eras. And,
yeah.
I don't think too much of that. But back to my question about Gore. What do you think of Frank Gore? Is he, I mean, past Barry Sanders, did, took a lot longer for him to do it, but he's done it. Do we, how do we rank him?
I mean, I love Frank Gore. He's, based on his place on the list, he's got to be up there. I don't think, as a talent, I don't think you can rank him among the people that he's with, but just based on his longevity and the fact that he's been able to stick around so long and be effective, even through, you know, his age-related declines, all that kind of stuff, he's found a way to still be effective in today's NFL, and you have to give him a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, but his compadre, Devin Singletary, still got 21 carries, 106 yards. It looks like he's back on the radar again. He dropped off there for a bit because Gore, obviously, Gore's presence, it doesn't help any running back. That I've noticed that about Gore. Any team that he goes to, you kind of have to go, because you know he's going to take carries away.
Yep.
And
until the day he retires.
Until the day he retires. That's right. Not much, really much to say in scoring this game. Cole Beasley, if you started him, you got a touchdown and 76 yards from Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley's been a pretty solid fella.
Yes.
This year, very good, you know, inside receiver. Plays much the same sort of role that Julian Edelman plays on the Patriots. moving right along, Pittsburgh 16 at Cincinnati 10. Duck Hodges had to take over from Mason Rudolph because Mason Rudolph is just awful.
Yep.
Pure and simple. He's actually quite terrible.
Maybe they just pre-benched him so he wouldn't get killed on the field this coming week.
That might be a good idea. I think it might be a good idea that...
I mean, he's definitely not playing this week against the Browns, but I think maybe they pre-benched him just to say, you know, they didn't bench him just for that game.
I can't help. I cannot help but have a sneaky desire that I actually, as much as it's kind of a non-important, no playoff implications, really a very, very minor playoff implications, the Browns in Pittsburgh is, I think, a game everybody wants to see in Pittsburgh this time. I think you got to put the chin straps on a little bit tighter than usual for this game next week. But Benny Snell, 21 carries, 98 yards. Jalen Samuels, a lot of people started him instead and were very disappointed. Jalen Samuels in place of I'll get his stats up for this game because it's not quite ready here.
He had 2 carries for 6 yards and 3 catches for 26 yards.
Yeah, a total of that equates to 5 points in half PPR. Not very good.
No.
But Benny Snell, is he the guy to own now?
Oh, definitely. He out-touched Samuel 22-9, or out-targeted, I guess it would be, but out-touched 22-5. So just like Samuel's, he's supposed to be the pass catcher. Outside of the week 11 game where he caught a touchdown, a short yardage touchdown, he's not been good. We heard all year that Samuel's was, you know, one of the best handcuffs behind James Conner. He's really done nothing since Conner went down. And
No.
And Snell is the guy. They gave him 21 carries in his first game back from injury. Snell is the guy. He needs to be owned.
Right. And Joe Mixon, one of your favorites. 16 fantasy points, 16 fantasy points, 17 fantasy points. He only got 8, but he still rushed for 79 yards. But you don't want him ever again.
No. Just the Bengals don't really know how to use him. Mixon's a great pass catcher, and he had no targets in a game that they were trailing. I don't think he's a terrible running back. It's just the Bengals have no idea how to do anything. So,
well, it's like I say, you know, bad offenses, you don't really want players on it. Deontay Johnson didn't do much. 3 catch, 29 yards. He's still got
James Washington had a game, though.
James Washington had the game. You're right. And he scored a touchdown from Duck Hodges.
Yes.
But again, looking forward to Browns. And see you in Pittsburgh, as the famous line goes. Carolina 31 at New Orleans 34. This was quite a big game, and this kind of brings up my point. Christian McCaffrey, of course, the stats don't tell the whole story, but I mean, he's still on pace for the record for most yards from scrimmage. I mean, 22 carries, 64 yards, 1 touchdown, and 9 receptions. Caught all 9 of them, too, for 69 yards and a touchdown. Great day for McCaffrey, but Carolina They had their chance at the end of the game, but they couldn't punch it in for a score. They couldn't even kick the field goal for a score. And the Saints went down, and easily Will Lutz got the field goal, and they won the game. So Breeze, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, did all right for you. Michael Thomas being the number one, as he always is. Question here is, for fantasy, is Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara, what is going on, Jono?
It's going back to the same split that Kamara had with Ingram for the past few years, but this time Kamara's not really scoring any touchdowns. He hasn't had a rushing touchdown since week 3, hasn't had a passing touchdown all year, I don't think. Maybe week 1. But yeah, Kamara's just not finding the end zone, and Murray is. That's really the difference here. Kamara's still getting targets. He's still, seeing chances, just he's not finding the end zone, and Murray just happens to be on the field when they get into the end zone. So not much you can do in that kind of situation. And Kamara's one of the bigger busts of the draft, actually, but well, in the first round, considering he was going top 3. But
you look at his fantasy numbers, they're not too bad. I mean, he's since the bye week, 11, 17, and 15. But again, no touchdowns since week 3, where he had 2. Yep. And I guess that is a concern. And whereas when we look at the touchdown total for Latavius Murray here, he has, counting them up here, 6 touchdowns, including one in the last game against Carolina. So
That week 3 game is the only game that Kamara actually had touchdowns. So I think a little bit of bad luck, I would say. He had the hamstring injury, so a little bit of injury stuff, a little bit of bad luck on the touchdown side, but not much you can say. This is, it's still Kamara's backfield, but Murray's siphoning off enough touches now that you have to be concerned.
I guess my question to you is that now that Carolina has dropped to 5-6, is there a kind of a concern for fantasy owners that Riverboat Ron might, if they lose another game, they might sort of start shutting down Christian McCaffrey, preserve him for next year and not risk any kind of injury or something like that? Is there that concern? Or since he's on target for a record, do they keep him going?
Yeah, I think if he's still on pace for the yardage record, then he'll play. Even if he's not, I think they'll let him play. I don't think that McCaffrey's, obviously he's a superstar, but I don't think he's the kind of player that's gonna, take a sitting out too lightly. I think they're gonna play it out. I think they'll want to see what they have in Kyle Allen for next season. And I think he's going to need his running back to test that so I think he'll keep playing. I'm not too concerned about that.
Okay. Moving right along. Tampa Bay, 35 at Atlanta. Jameis Winston, big day. 313 yards, 2 interceptions, 3 touchdowns. He actually did a little bit of rushing too. Something you don't see from Jameis Winston too often. He actually rushed for 38 yards. He's been doing a lot of rushing in these last few weeks. He's had rushing yards of 53 in week 8, 40 in week 10, and 23 in week 11, 38 just in this last game. So he's sort of putting the wheels on a little bit more. 26 fantasy points, one of the top fantasy guys this week. In fact, he was
he's number probably 4 2 or 3.
He was QB 4 this week.
4. Obviously he's not 2. I forgot about Lamar today. So obviously he's not 2. He was 3.
3 is Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill, Sam Darnold.
Oh, Darnold.
Darnold, yeah.
Yeah, I knew Lamar was 1. I knew Tannehill was 2. I just didn't know Darnold was 3. Okay.
Back to the game.
This was my favorite game of the week.
Why?
This was just peak Jameis Winston. Starts off the game, his first pass attempt was a brutal interception. Comes back on the next drive and leads a 98-yard touchdown drive where he runs for a key first down on third, and then throws a beautiful pass into triple coverage where Chris Godwin runs it for 71 yards. Yeah. Comes back on the next drive and tries to Patrick Mahomes jump pass, throws it behind the receiver for another pick, and then proceeds to throw for another 300 yards and win the game. Just peak Jameis Winston. And he's just one of the most fun players to watch because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, but the question here, too, I also have to bring in is also Mike Evans kind of left in the cold. 9 fantasy points and just 7 fantasy points, 50 yards receiving. Is Godwin the guy now?
they switch based on the matchup. I mean, certain teams will focus all their attention on Evans. I think that's what Atlanta was doing. And Godwin got open for a lot of after-catch runs, so I think that really helped him, especially his 71-yarder. But obviously, Evans has the talent to break out at any point, but a lot of his value is coming from massive games that he'll have once every few weeks. It's difficult to predict those, but Evans has the higher, I guess, I wouldn't say higher ceiling, because obviously Godwin went off for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns this week, but I think Evans is your ceiling guy, and Godwin's the more consistent guy.
And one footnote here too, OJ Howard, 1 fantasy point. He got 1 reception for 10 yards.
It was a pretty key reception. He got them to the goal line, and then Ronald Jones punched it in.
Yeah, key reception, but fantasy-wise...
Drop.
Do you think he'll remain with the Buccaneers next year?
I don't think they'll cut him, but I don't know. I don't know what Arians is gonna do. I don't think they'll cut him, but
or do you think though that's when the offer will come in?
Yep, to the Patriots.
Right. There was a bad. There's one thing too. Brian Hill of the. Well, this is just the last note on this particular issue is that Brian Hill basically snubbed fantasy owners last. Did you hear about that?
Because everybody added him and he was terrible.
Yeah, and then he said he kind of laughingly put the laughingly emoji on there. I don't care about you fantasy people. Kind of like made a bit of a snub to fantasy people.
I mean, I didn't hear about that, but I mean, maybe he should care more about not being a bad running back. He looked bad, and he's about to lose his job to what? Allison? Carey Allison?
Kadri Allison, yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Don't listen. Try not to fight back on Twitter and get better so you don't lose your job to a rookie.
Yeah, I didn't really take kindly to that tweet, but he was quiet again. Do we own Kadri Allison? Do we jump? Is he a waiver wire in your waiver wire picks this week?
He is, actually. He's the red zone guy. Hill has not looked good. I think Hill had 9 carries for 14 yards. Allison had 8 for 20. So neither of them are super efficient, but Allison is the red zone guy. He's 6'1", 235. He's a big dude. He's going to get all the goal line carries he can handle. And if the Atlanta offense can move the ball, then he's going to have his chances.
Yeah, I like him. I watched him. I thought, this guy's got play. This guy can ball.
Although, granted, Atlanta does have New Orleans next week, and they have the fourth ranked rush defense by Pro Football Focus.
Yes.
So tough matchup. So you're going to need a goal line carry in that one for Allison.
Moving right along, Giants 14 at Bears 19. Half decent game by Trubisky for once. At least he's not harming your fantasy players too much. Do believe that the one touchdown catch went to
it was Robinson.
Yeah, Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson had a fairly decent outing. Where did he?
Fairly decent, Richard. It was 131 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I know that. Compared with everything else. Yeah, 22 fantasy points. Yeah, got them mixed up with some other guys. Probably with the Giants. You know what? Daniel Jones needs some work. Really, every week he keeps losing the football. What is it about Daniel Jones? Cannot get...
He wasn't ready. He wasn't. We talked about it when Shermer first put him in. He wasn't ready. The plan was for him to sit all year behind Eli. He came in after, what, 3 games? Because the Giants were going to compete for a playoff spot? Like, come on. He was a project when he was drafted. He's still a project. And they can't really bring Eli back in now, or else they look like the Bengals. So...
That's right. Yeah. That's true. Bad outing for Sterling Shepard. People like, oh, great, he's going to be back. So, really, a whole lot of nothing going on for the Giants offense.
I will say, though, because Golden Tate got concussed catching a touchdown, Darius Slayton against the good Bears defense, he still had 4 catches for 67 yards. And if Tate is out next week, I think Slayton is a very, very good play.
Yeah. He's huge. He's a really good player. Jones likes him. So I don't know, a star in the future, and definitely somebody who will be a topic of the draft board and ADPs next year. Not much happening on the ground for the Bears. unfortunately. We always hope for David Montgomery, but David Montgomery, 3 fantasy points again. This was a guy that I kind of hope, 4 fantasy points in half PPR, but I don't know. It's just not working out. I kind of picked David Montgomery to be kind of like that sneaky guy that was going to win you a league at some point. It doesn't look like, looks like he's losing you a league right now. But no, the Bears' offense, all told, is just not very good. I mean, apart from a big game from Allen Robinson now and again, and Taylor Gabriel, he's okay, but second fiddle, and he's kind of boom and bust himself. Moving right along, Miami and Cleveland. Miami 24 at Cleveland 41. A bit of a breakout for Baker Mayfield, but how can you not break out against Miami? You know, in fact, they were saying on Twitter that this was the fans were criticizing. How do you criticize a team that has a blowout? But that's what fans were doing. Like, I don't know, the Browns are never happy.
When you're that, you know, unhappy with your team for that long, I feel like praising them is difficult, especially after the start to the year that they had. But, you know, 3 wins in a row, Baker's looked much better, much more careful with the ball. He's not throwing, you know, 3 interceptions a game anymore. So he's looking better, and now he gets Pittsburgh in a rematch where he had 2 touchdowns last time. So it'll be on the road. Granted, it's on the road this time, so I don't know if I would start Baker, but there are good signs. And yeah, Njoku could be back.
And a big day, too, because he was fifth quarterback this week.
Honestly, I think Kareem Hunt is making a huge difference for this offense. I didn't think the difference would be this big, but having Kareem Hunt there as a receiving option, even though Nick Chubb is a good receiver, but having Kareem Hunt there just adds that extra dimension, and the offense looks completely different with him in there.
Yeah, and is he a guy you can flex every week, too? Because he got 12 fantasy points. He's had 11, 9, and 12. Can we flex him every week?
I did. He was my RB2 this week.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, even as far as that, huh?
He was good. My RB2. I had no choice.
Well, there's been a lot of buys in there. Well, heavy buys of main fantasy players out.
I should have started Latavius Murray, but the point difference was 1. It was like 1 point, so yeah. It's okay.
But Jarvis Landry has been good for 3 games running. Really strong.
Yes.
Better than OBJ, really.
Yeah, I think the one broken play where OBJ and Landry were just wide open and Baker had his pick. He chose to throw it to OBJ. Landry could have had 3 touchdowns with an extra 50 or so yards.
Yeah, dude, are you starting Baker next week against the Steelers?
It's, I don't know. That game could be a complete bloodbath. I don't know how that's going to go. Pittsburgh's defense has been pretty good. Baker did play well last time, like I said. No picks, 2 touchdowns. He had 21 fantasy points. But, man, Pittsburgh on the road, divisional games. If you need a QB, because all the buys are over. So I think if you need a QB, then Baker's not the worst option. He's probably going to be in like the QB1 conversation, probably on the lower end. But I think he's gained enough over the last 3 weeks that I'd be willing to start him.
Yeah, this is one of those fantasy games where it's because there's so much revenge and there's an atmosphere to it now because of all the stuff that went on with Myles Garrett and that. It's kind of like made a really big, it's kind of put, you kind of have to put fantasy aside a little bit and kind of add some sort of intangibles into your reckoning for it because of this. It's not straightforward fantasy wise, is it?
Nah, it's just because you don't know what can happen. Like in a game, emotions are going to be running very, very high and anything can happen. Somebody can get ejected and then all of a sudden your fantasy day is ruined.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously you're betting on somebody getting ejected in that case, but it's not a smart bet, but who knows, anything can happen.
I don't want to be a ref for that game. Might not be I don't know, they you know, it might be they might been told like we've got to keep this cool, guys, for the league's sake and all this sort of thing, you know, because of today, it in today's optics, stuff like this doesn't go down well like it used to in the old days. So yep. I don't know if I'm not sure if we'll see anything spectacular. I mean, it's still worth watching, but anyways, it's so easy to get sidetracked when we start talking about Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Anyway, moving right along. Oakland 3 at Jets 34. What a blowout. Derek Carr got pulled from the game. Benched.
Not much to go on in this game. The Jets dominated. The end.
Yeah.
Oakland. Brutal loss for Oakland.
Yeah, brutal loss for Oakland. If you had the courage to start Robbie Anderson, I think you'd okay. He scored you a touchdown. But Sam Darnold, number three, as we mentioned, he was the number three fantasy quarterback. So a big day for him. 315 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, and didn't get a pick. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, no, he's been trending up with the Jets' super, super easy schedule. Over the last 4 weeks, it's Miami, the Giants, the Redskins, Oakland, and then next week he's got Cincinnati and then Miami again. So if you need a QB, Darnold's the obvious streamer.
Yeah, he's a good streamer right now. He's holding pretty good. Detroit, 16 at Washington, 19. Dwayne Haskins drove down at the end of the game for a game-winning field goal. Story of this game, I guess we could say it's Bo Scarborough. A lot of people, he was the other waiver grab, and now people haven't been wanting to trust, but he's all ground. I think Bo Scarborough in standard leagues, if people are still playing standard, he does a lot better. He's kind of the guy you want. 18 carries, 98 yards. That's a very good, yards per carry average. I'm not sure how that works out, but just doing the math, that's nearly 5 yards a carry. So can we flex Bo Scarborough going forward, or are we still cautious about this backfield?
I think at this point, if you're rostering Bo Scarborough, then you probably have a reason to start him. 2 weeks in a row now, he's done well. He had 14 carries last week, 55 yards and a touchdown. This year, it was 18 for 98. He did fumble, so it wasn't all good. But obviously, he's the lead back for the Lions now. I don't think Ty Johnson's going to come back from the dead anytime soon and take relevancy. If you start him next week, it is the Bears on a short week, so he might not have a great time. But just because both offenses are struggling, this could be a low-scoring game either way. So he'll probably get a bunch of carries at low efficiency.
Yeah, that's our... that's our opening game on Thanksgiving. So the opening game, Bears at Detroit. So there'll be lots of turkey.
Lots of turkey. One thing I did notice from this game is that Terry McLaurin could have had 2 touchdowns if Haskins was a little bit more accurate. He, like, with Keenum in there, he probably catches 2 touchdowns. Mm. So, unfortunately, but...
He's dragging McLaurin down. There's no question about it. McLaurin's become a risky start now.
Very risky.
Jaguars at Titans, 20-42. Titans, I think Tannehill, quite a good day. Nick Foles, no touchdown passes, but finally, Leonard Fournette finds the end zone. Hooray!
Yeah, that was nice to see, considering he touched the ball like 33 times or something insane like that. Like, I understand that he is your offense, but you're giving the man 33 touches in a game that you're getting blown out by like 30. Come on, man. He's already injury prone. Do we really need that kind of wear on him?
Exactly. He's always a concern for worry. I always feel like, these days you don't know. Guys can be out for a concussion or a hamstring for a game or two. You know, I think it's always handy to, you know, keep somebody, because Rykel Armstead's quite a good running back, you know, his backup. Is if you own Leonard Fournette, you should own, if you're in the playoffs, you should own Rykel Armstead, because he's quite a good handcuff for Leonard Fournette. Reed. And Derrick Henry did well himself on the other side of the ball, of course. 159 yards, 2 touchdowns himself.
Decent day. 2 touchdowns in 10 seconds.
Great guy. I just still don't understand that ponytail. Anyway.
I mean, the first touchdown, the long run, that just, it seemed like an unnecessary stiff arm. It seemed like he purposely slowed down just to turn around and stiff arm the guy. It seemed like a very unnecessary just shot to take the guy out. He could have just accelerated and got away with it, but it's okay. It was a better highlight.
And boom bust AJ Brown. If you started AJ Brown because of the bye weeks, you did quite well. Corey Davis is nowhere anymore.
Nope, absolutely not. Corey Davis is fantasy irrelevant. He's quickly becoming NFL irrelevant too.
Yeah, I would say so too, because I saw some of the he was getting quality targets from Tannehill, but he wasn't hauling them in. I saw him. I was watching some of his pass, some of the passes going to, gee, that's a quality pass. Oh, dropped it. Then there was another one, dropped it. He's had some bad targets dropped. Whereas
Brown is the number one target in this offense now. Well, obviously outside of Derrick Henry, but the number one receiver in this offense, AJ Brown. He's led the team in targets 3 out of the last 5 weeks. The other 2 weeks were Jonnu Smith, who had 0 targets this week. So I think Brown is well on his way to having a good fantasy playoffs.
On to the late games. Seahawks 17, at Philadelphia 9. And this game was kind of an important fantasy, real football game, because the Seahawks are trying to keep pace with the San Francisco 49ers, and of course Philadelphia is still in the hunt for trying to win the NFC East, the Sweat Hog Division. And Carson Wentz, Jono, I really don't know if he's okay. A lot of people make excuses for him that, okay, he's had Jordan Matthews to throw, who got cut, by the way, this week. He hasn't had his normal, I mean, Aguilar was out, Alshon Jeffrey was out, but that still shouldn't matter. We see quarterbacks with lesser lights and they still manage to do something. He got 256 yards, 2 interceptions, and a touchdown nonetheless, but it just hasn't looked that good to me.
To be fair to Wentz, there's only so many times he can throw to Zach Ertz. I think he had like 14 targets or something crazy this week. There's only so many times he can throw to Ertz. Goddard looks good as a target, but he fumbled, so it didn't really help his standing. There was a really interesting video from Dan Orlovsky on Twitter where he broke down what the receivers were doing on the pass plays for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And Arthega Whiteside specifically would, you know, run out of his route or drift away from where the ball was supposed to be. And on crucial, you know, third and fourth down plays, he's just running either the wrong route or not running it crisply enough, where Wentz places the ball perfectly where he should be. He's not there, and it's costing the Eagles offense. So I think if Wentz gets like a more experienced receiver back, or, you know, Alshon Jeffrey decides to start playing well again, then I think Wentz has more than he's showing now. But I think his weapons and whatever's going on with the whole Philadelphia offense isn't helping. But I think Wentz is a little better than this season.
Are we running out to pick up Rashad Penny? Had a big day. Rashad Penny, of all people, had a big day. In fact, he was. Rashad Penny was 1, 2, 3, 4, number 7 RB this week in half PPR.
I wouldn't run for Rashad Penny. People will, because he's on a popular team and he had 129 yards at touchdown. He's gonna be the big running back ad on waivers this week.
I don't see it. You know, he doesn't look very good. Even though he had that big day, I don't think he's that great.
He's an average running back, I think, with the volume he theoretically could get in Seattle, but it's tough to say how the timeshare is going to break out. Obviously, they're very committed to Carson, but Penny's going to be the pickup. He's, like I said before, he's going to be the number one waiver running back. And if you want him, you're going to have to pay for him. And I don't know if I'm willing to do that. That was kind of my concern with the performance like this.
No, I'm not really interested in him either. But not much from, as for the Seattle receivers, like Seattle won. But it was actually an off day for, I can't say it was completely off day for Russell Wilson. Because he had some guys drop passes, like DK Metcalf dropped a sure touchdown. And he had Jacob Hollister all clear for another touchdown. So I think it was one of those days at the office for Russell Wilson. But I will say this, it definitely, because he did so poorly, I mean, overall, that I think it really hurts his MVP chances, especially after seeing what Lamar Jackson has been doing lately.
Yeah, I think unless Lamar like significantly slows down over the next 4 weeks, I think he's gonna win it. Just the buzz around him right now is insane. He's doing such good things for the league. He's drawing so many eyes just because of how electric he is. I think he's gonna win it. Same way Mahomes did last year.
In the rain and sleet, we go Dallas.
This was brutal
9.
To watch. This whole game was brutal.
At New England, 13. Controversial tripping calls and controversial field goal. Jerry Jones not happy. Sounds like Jason Garrett's on the hot seat. Talk about him. I don't know why. I can't see why the Giants would want to get him on the team for Shurmur, but I know Shurmur's not that great of a coach, but would you really want Jason Garrett on there?
I wouldn't want Jason Garrett near any of my teams. That field goal was one of the most cowardly plays, play calls I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, just why? Like, it doesn't. I wouldn't be surprised if the win probability for Dallas went down after they successfully kicked that field goal. It just a cowardly call. You're playing to. He was playing to not lose as opposed to playing to win. Terrible call. Bad coach.
Yeah, it was a bad coach, but they did have some bad calls in it. And I think everybody knows that that Amari Cooper had pulled a Cooper Cup this week. He was the Amari Cooper Cup. he got the goose egg of the week and absolutely horrible, not catch. And in fact, one of the catches, an important clutch catch he had to make, fell to the ground on replay. And Dallas lost. This was in their last drive. And that catch could have saved Jason Garrett's decision to go for that field goal had he made the catch.
It could have, but I mean, there's still no excuse. You kick the field goal, you're still down by a touchdown, or you still need to score a touchdown to win, and you have to stop New England either way.
You called it right. I mean, you're calling it right there. I mean, the thing is in a game like that, you have to go for. I mean, because New England they weren't able to score a field goal on you, so you're still in the game. I mean, okay, granted, if New England did score a field goal, then you'd need two scores to win if you didn't get the touchdown. But I think you're right. Yeah, you still go. The famous line, though, from Jerry Jones was, if I can put it exactly, I've got it on my Twitter feed. Now, I think a lot of people feel like this about their fantasy teams, too. And Jerry Jones had the quote of the week. And as soon as I get it up here, I'll put it up. But we can, if you want anything else to add to this game, apart from...
The pair of rookies for New England looked pretty good. N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers, with Dorsett and Sanu out, they had to step up, and they did. Harry caught one of four targets for a touchdown, a very slick touchdown. He showed good ball skills on that. Myers had nine targets and caught 76 yards for them. So if Dorsett with his concussion is out again next week, and Sanu with his ankle injury is out again next week, look for the rookies to step up again, this time in a dome, in the safety of a dome, so you don't have to worry about the weather. Brady will have a much easier time finding his targets, and I think if you need a sneaky flex, I think Harry and Jacoby Myers are going to be decent options.
Yeah, worth picking up, especially considering those. Yeah. The quote I was looking for is, "With the makeup of this team, I shouldn't be this frustrated."
He's right. He's definitely right.
But I extended that further in a tweet today, and I said, "With the makeup of this fantasy team, have you ever thought this? With the makeup of this fantasy team, I shouldn't be this frustrated."
I thought that through the first 5 or 6 weeks, and then I figured, you know what? If they're this consistently disappointing, then they're bad.
I've thought that a lot. With it, so I've had good teams go down. It really sucks, especially in fantasy finals and things. You know, just the other guy beats you down. It's like, there's nothing worse than I don't know about you, but I go into every fantasy week with white knot. I always think that I'm going through this again. Like you think you've got a good team, and then one of your guys just doesn't get any targets, or gets minimal targets. He gets, you know, everybody's getting their floor and not their ceiling, or anywhere near their ceiling. It just doesn't, you would just like, can't everything be like in a happy medium all the time? But it never is. Guys are constantly getting the floor. They're not getting any, you know, I don't know. That happened again for Cooper Kupp on this game. So, just here on Monday nights. Yeah, Tom Brady, 190 yards, one touchdown.
The Pats offense is sputtering. I guess I'm going to use the nice word here, sputtering. They are the worst looking 10-1 offense ever, I think.
Yeah, and well, I guess it's when I don't want to say system quarterback, but
let's not get this started again. System quarterback. All right. You know what? I think Mahomes is the system quarterback here, all right?
All right. Okay, I'll give myself a turkey for that one. The late game. It was supposed to be a little closer than this, but here we had another blowout. Green Bay 8, San Francisco 37. Didn't quite work out for Aaron Rodgers.
Beat down. Hmm? Oh my goodness. The San Francisco defense is something else. They're a great defense, but they do it in a different way than New England does. Like watching two like amazing defenses, and San Francisco just hits you. They're nonstop at the QB with Nick Bosa, and man, you gotta be careful if you're playing QB against San Francisco. You gotta be careful.
You do, and they rush so well. They get into the backfield. They like Rodgers doesn't have ways to move around. And I mean, I consider, you know, you need running backs that can block it, but even the running backs can't get in there and block. I don't know what it is going to take to stop them. I don't know. Somehow the Seahawks did it, but again, the Seahawks did it. They got back in the game. The San Francisco 49ers, they can be rattled. And I noticed that in the Seahawks game, the one that they lost. And that was a key game because the Seahawks defense were able to rattle Jimmy Garoppolo. Granted, now Kittle wasn't in that game, and they lost Emmanuel Sanders in that game as well. But Emmanuel Sanders was back for this one, and he didn't do much. And Deebo Samuel, of course, is the number one guy. I guess he's the guy to own. Finally, we have some guy emerge, and I guess it's Deebo Samuel, is it?
I don't know. It's a tough offense because it's obviously a run-first offense. With all, you know, Coleman 1A and then either Mostert or Breida or whichever one is healthy at the time is the 1B. Between Samuel and Sanders, I think if Sanders is fully healthy, I think he's probably the guy. I know Debo's come on strong the last couple of weeks, but I think if Sanders is healthy, he should still be the guy, I would think.
Hmm. But speaking of San Francisco and the Ravens next week, game of the week, not really Pittsburgh, Cleveland. It's actually San Francisco and the Ravens next week's the big game. Who do you like?
I like the Ravens in that one. San Francisco's defense, if they have a weakness, it's running QBs. And yeah, I think the Ravens have a guy that can do that. So I think it's going to be a close one. It's going to be a great game. But I think the Ravens have that one.
Mm. Okay, I guess it's time to our turkey button. Turkey button of the week. I haven't got anything ready, so if you want to go ahead and do yours first, do your turkeys of the week for Thanksgiving. It's
I'm gonna go Chris Carson. Talked about him a little bit earlier with the Rashad Penny stuff earlier, but another lost fumble for Carson. That's his fourth of the year. I think he's fumbled. I can double check the numbers, but he's fumbled a ton this year. And I think this is the first time all year that Pete Carroll has actually said that instead of throwing his full support behind Carson, this is the first time all year he's actually said, "Hey, let's get Rashad Penny involved. Let's make this a committee." And that's not what you want if you're a Chris Carson owner, because what he banks on is volume. Chris Carson, he's a good runner, but he needs, you know, 20 carries because he doesn't do much through the air. So if he's not getting volume, if he's in a committee with Rashad Penny, then he's going to take a huge hit in terms of his production, and it's not good. So you have to get to see what happens next week, and hopefully for Carson owners, it doesn't turn into a full-blown committee because his value is going to tank if it does. Six fumbles this year, three lost.
That is bad. So I guess that's why. I guess it makes sense. The Penny pickup. I guess it's a little bit more than just recency bias, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. we do know about that Carson problem. Okay, my turkey is going to be, it's got to be Cooper Kupp. It's just not happening with him anymore. Of course, he had that goose egg in week 10 against Pittsburgh, 7 fantasy points against the Bears, and another 7 fantasy points against the Ravens tonight. If you're going into your fantasy playoffs with Cooper Kupp and hoping that he's your WR1, I mean, you didn't draft him as a WR1, you did, he's really kind of regressed into normalcy, and I don't think that's his fault. I think a lot of it has to do with, as we said, Goff. But if you have Cooper Kupp, you don't drop him, but boy, you're gonna have some hard starts. His if I might mention his upcoming games, which is what I didn't do. I'll just go back to him. Cooper Kupp, where are you here? I lost him.
Their upcoming schedule is Cardinals, Seahawks, Cowboys, Niners, and Cardinals again. So not terrible for all things considered. Arizona and Dallas are some nice matchups. Seattle's middling, I think.
Yeah, so it might help him there, but he's still a nervous start now.
Yes, extremely. Over the first five games, he averaged 19 points in half PPR. Over the last five games, he's averaged 10. And that includes a 220 yard one touchdown game against the Bengals. He's still only averaging 10 points a game over the last five. I don't watch enough Rams to know what's going on or why Goff suddenly decided to get this much worse and not target Cooper Kupp. But yeah, it's not been good outside of teams over the last five games against teams that aren't the Bengals.
Yeah, he was up in the top five earlier this season. He's dropped way off.
Four straight games of 100 yards, four touchdowns in that span from weeks 2 to 5, and then all of a sudden just off the cliff.
All right. Well, I'm going to drop the turkey gavel again. So who's your other turkey button?
Yeah, I wrote him down earlier, and I haven't thought of a new one since. So I'm going to go Jalen Samuels. Everybody was expecting him to step it up with James Conner out, especially in PPR. We knew he wasn't the greatest runner, but last year he was great catching passes out of the backfield. This year in his first game, he was great catching passes out of the backfield. And since then, just absolutely nothing. I don't know if it's because of Rudolph and Hodges. I don't know what it is, but yeah, Samuels, he's next to useless for fantasy purposes. He hasn't done anything since, you know, basically he needs to catch a short yardage touchdown or he's not scoring any points. And that's a turkey in my book.
And my turkey is going to be Jordan Howard. He's injured right now. He's been injured for two games. I don't know what he's going to be coming back into now because of Jay Ajayi's production. And it looks like he could end up sharing carries with Jay Ajayi when he returns. I think Miles Sanders is still okay because Miles Sanders is kind of multi-purpose, but I don't think, I think you have to be a little bit concerned that Jordan Howard is not going to have the early downs anymore to himself, which was, he was quite a good flex play throughout the season until Jay Ajayi came along. So, if he comes back, I'm a little worried starting him now because of, the emergence of Jay Ajayi in the offense and how much they plan to use him. I don't think Jay Ajayi is just going to go away. I think could be Doug Peterson. We'll have to see, but I don't think Jordan Howard owns those early downs anymore. It could come down to that. And so, yes, and I also agree on Jalen Samuels. We talked about him. We'll find out what happens. Anyways, moving on up. Go ahead, Jono. Who is moving on up for you?
I'm going Tyler Boyd. Andy Dalton's back. No more Ryan Finley. And I think Tyler Boyd is going to be very happy to have his starting QB back, and he's going to jump back to higher levels of production. He already had 101 yards and a touchdown this week with Finley in. I think next week he's got the Jets and then the Browns. I think he's gonna have a good time with Dalton back in there.
I'm gonna before we get to that, I'm gonna have a bonus turkey. Can I do that? I have a bonus turkey. Yeah, I'm gonna I'm gonna have an extra piece of turkey. I'm gonna say Saquon Barkley.
Ooh, I like it.
Because he's had in his last two games 6 fantasy points, 7 fantasy points. That's not RB1. That's not RB1 at all. I mean, his last highest game was at Detroit, and he got 24 fantasy points. But he's had 3 touchdowns all season. So, Saquon Barkley. That's my bonus turkey. On the other side, of course, moving on up for me, of course, is we already talked about him, and it's got to be, it has to be, Jonathan Williams. If you picked up Jonathan Williams, if you spent all your fab on him, if you saved your fab for this kind of thing, he's had 2 straight games of 100 plus yardage. I mean, you don't know with the broken hand. You think kind of assume that Marlon Mack's not coming back. So I think Jonathan Williams, if he's still hanging around anywhere, I doubt he is. He's definitely moving on up in my book. Without question.
Yep, totally, totally agree.
And I will say this about Jonathan Williams. This is one thing. He's had some off-field issues in the past. I can't remember exactly what they were. I'd have to look it up in the archives of 2017. But he was out of the league for I don't know, so for some off-field problems or something. But it wasn't very good, so I don't know. I keep an eye on him. But for the time being, he's doing the job. Definitely moving on up in my book.
Yep. I don't even know if this is a moving on up. I think this is just more of a praising what he's done and hoping people kind of realize it. Is Jameis Winston. He's QB 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's QB 7 for the entire season. That's firmly QB 1 territory. Nobody really wants to start him because of all the picks he throws. But keep in mind, he's on pace to lead. Like, he theoretically could lead the NFL in touchdown passes and interceptions. And, I mean, he's still producing through all the picks. The Buccaneers have to throw it. The running game is not good enough. Jameis is going to throw the ball 40, 45 times a game. He's going to put up the numbers. And, you know, he's only owned in 89% of leagues. If somebody out there, if he's out there and available in these 11% of leagues, somebody please add him. Tom Brady is 96%, and he hasn't scored over 20 points since week 6. Matt Ryan looked like really bad against the Buccaneers defense. That was supposed to be a cake matchup. He looked bad. He's 97% owned. Jameis doesn't really get a lot of credit for what he's done for fantasy this year. And I think people should start to recognize how useful he actually is.
Yeah, great. He is. He definitely does deserve the recognition. He did, like you say, just a bit of a sputtery start, like you say, that he has come into his own, and he overcomes his, he doesn't get flustered over interceptions. He just keeps on going. My other guy is, well, I sort of had the debate of which player to choose, but I'm going to go with, it's kind of an obvious one, but, DJ Moore of the, Carolina Panthers. He's got, he's had 100, 101, 120, 95, and 126 yards receiving in his last four games. I mean, I think he's reaching closer and closer to that upper echelon of wide receivers. I definitely the better owned than a lot of players that we see. I mean, he's definitely got to be moving on up towards the top 10. Right now, he's top 20. I think he's top 10 now. He's definitely moving on up in my books, and he'll be moving up in the rest of the season. I've had him far too long lagging behind, at number 20. I'll probably move him into the top 10. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, just over the last 4 weeks, his performance has definitely warranted that. He's developed a ton of chemistry with Kyle Allen. And like I said, he's good. He's an electric after catch guy. If you can get him the ball with a little bit of space, he can make great things happen. And obviously he's shown that over the last 4 weeks.
And so that is our Thanksgiving, turkey show. So we had some turkey and, talked a little bit of turkey. Anything else you want to add before? Is there any kind of news that we should be on the lookout for, or anything, any games or any other guys? You know, we haven't talked a little bit much about the, about tight ends this week. I will say that Eric Ebron is on an IR, so.
Mike Gesicki, out of the week.
Out of the week?
No, but he is a tight end that's available in 85% of leagues. That's gotten no fewer than 6 targets in the last 4 weeks. He's like the number 2 option in that passing game. And honestly, tight end is so bad. Gesicki was tight end 4 this week, and he had 28 yards.
There's some names up here I haven't even heard of. Other than Caden Smith, Logan Thomas, Jaden Graham.
If you need a tight end, Mike Gesicki's there. You're not going to find consistent targets like that on the waiver wire this late in the season, for a tight end especially.
I don't know. I'm still going to stay with Hollister.
Oh, yeah, if you have Hollister, but if you need a tight end.
Yeah, if you need a tight end. Greg Olsen being solid again. Just looking at some of the names up here. Yeah, there's been some. But
Ryan Sticky Hands Griffin, that's the guy.
Ryan Sticky Hands Griffin, look at that. It's just no real big names coming out. Let's see. No.
Kelsey was on bye.
And now Kelsey was on a bye, I know that. But I'm just trying to look to see if there's any other oddball names that came up in the top 10 this week. But it looks like it's the only oddballs are in the tight end department, which has been just a total disaster this year.
Yep.
I don't know. What do you think of no tight end leagues or combining it?
That's pushing it. I mean, if you're playing no tight end leagues, then you're taking a lot of strategy out of it. You know, like the tight end position you're drafting, you have to make that choice. You know, whether you want to take Kelce, Kittle, Ertz in the first three, four rounds, or you wait, right? It's a strategy thing. It's not, they're not completely random. You have to pick that and strategize for it. It's not like kickers where you have the best kicker in the league get you nothing 1 week and, you know, 35 points the next week. It's, if you're taking tight ends out of it, then you're just being lazy.
I just put that question to you as just throwing it out there,
yes, that is my official stance. If you're playing in a fantasy league without tight ends because they're too random, you're just being lazy.
People just don't like randomness in fantasy football anymore. They don't like kickers. You know, it just seems like, no, we don't want, I mean, even defenses can be random. When it comes to next year's draft, I think a lot of people, myself probably included, I'm going to put tight ends on the back burner. I don't really need them until the 8th or 9th round. I'm not gonna go out and reach for anybody in particular. I mean, not even Kittle.
I would probably reach for Kelce and Kittle. I think they're about as safe as you're gonna get, barring injury, of course. But just having that that set and forget spot at tight end, especially, like for example, like in my one league right now, I have Kelce, and outside of my league, I really don't think about it. But in our league, I've been starting Jack Doyle, Jonnu Smith, Delanie Walker, like Goddard. It's been a rough season at that position.
I know, it's been rough. I stashed Jacob Hollister, so I'm just gonna roll with him, mainly because he's matched up. I have Russell Wilson, so I'll stick with that. Anyways, I guess we should wrap up our show. I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope that your waiver wire will be successful, and I hope that if you need a win to get in the playoffs this week, I hope you get it, and I hope some of the stuff that we've talked about really helped. Hopefully Kevin Ho will be back with us next week on the Fantasy Edge. But Jono, I hope you have we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We'll celebrate it in spirit, of course, because when football's on, right?
Of course.
So everyone, yes, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week on the Fantasy Edge. Take care, everybody, and have a good take care. That's the show.
Cool.